tragic time. If he could crush the cradle, then that would stop the cross. He knew that once the light was born, his every hope was lost. A voice was heard of weeping and of wailing. History speaks of it on every page. Of innocent and helpless little babies. Offerings to the spirit of the age. Thank you.
Somewhere there's a stolen halo. I used to watch you wear it well. Everything would shine wherever she would go. But looking at her now, you'd never tell. Someone ran away with her innocence, a memory she can't get out of her head. I can only imagine what she's feeling when she's praying, kneeling at the edge of her bed. She said, take me away, take me farther. Someone to call her angel, someone to put the light back in her eyes. Looking through the faces and unfamiliar places, she needs someone to hear her when she cries. She said, take me away, take me farther.
On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove, when troubles surround us, when evils come, the body grows weak. The spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, he doesn't forget us. He sends down his love on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above. When Noah had drifted on the flood many days, he searched for land,
he searched for land
in various ways.
Various ways.
Troubles he had some, but wasn't forgotten. He sent him his love. On the wings of a dove,
wings of a dove.
On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sent his pure, sweet love, a sign from above. On the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow-white dove, he sent his pure, sweet love, a sign from above.
Wings of a dove,
on the wings.
join in the praise. Shock met with anger that burned on his face as he entered the wasteland of that barren place. And the Lamb is a lion who's roaring with rage at the empty religion that's filling their days. They'll flee from the harm of the carpenter's strong arm. Come to know the scourging anger of the Lord. Priests and the merchants demanded some proof, but their hearts were hardened and blind to the truth that Satan's own law is to sell and to buy. But God's only way is to give and to die. And the Lamb is a lion who's roaring with rage at the empty religion that's filling their days. They'll flee from the harm of the carpenter's strong arm. Come to know the scourging anger of the Lord. The noise and confusion gave way to his word. At last sacred silence so God could be heard. And the Lamb is a lion who's roaring.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the fifth day of February, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Spiritual Awakening. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. Notice I did not say Yiddish. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda Kumriambith. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. If you go to the Daily Mail page, that's where we have the latest information there, typically sent out by bulk email. If you're not getting the emails, check the Daily Mail page. That's where you'll find the information. On the home page of that website is information for those who wish to help out with a donation. And on the Contact Us page is how you can reach me if you do not have my personal contact information, such as phone and or email. Remember, Yahweh will never take you where the grace of Yahweh will not protect you. And yes, we do live in a dystopic world. And dystopia's definition, a state in which the conditions of life are extremely bad, as from deprivation, oppression, or terror. Jennifer, we cannot take call-ins. The only way on this Sunday morning broadcast to join is by Skype, and you have to make arrangements for that ahead of time. The Wednesday evening chat is where we do call in and share information as a family. Again, go to the Listen Live page at PastorDan.net, and you can find the information about the Wednesday broadcast that evening and the Sunday morning broadcast. Few quotes to remind you, because they are important, and also because it is apparent that people are listening to what you and I are talking about, ladies and gentlemen. It's showing up in platform after platform after platform. I guess that's why I'm led to go to these various platforms, not only to be educated by what the people and the commentators are talking about, but also to see that, as it says in Scripture, His word, His truth, will not go out and come back to Him void. Remember, it is the truth that cuts like a two-edged sword. That's why the Scriptures, when they talk about Messiah's return, talk of a double-edged sword coming out of His mouth. Well, nobody I know of fights a sword fight by holding a sword in their mouth. So obviously, it's an allegory. The double-edged sword comes out of His mouth being truth. So when you and I speak truth against the evils and the lies that are going on today, we are His ambassadors, His sons and daughters, doing what He commanded us to do. Now, the day of the actual sword, one made of metal that slices and dices, that day may come, probably sooner than some expect. However, right now we fight this war with the beast by destroying the lies and deceptions of the beast system. And that is having an effect as more and more people get the courage to speak out and to speak truth. It's destroying the lies of miscreants such as Anthony Fauci, a Jew, Deborah Birx, a Jew, and all the rest of the Jews that are associated with this whole scam. And it's interesting that the ones pushing it are Jews, the ones making money from it are Jews, and the media that covers up for all of this is run by Jews. But then we're not supposed to state the obvious today, are we? Well, Dan, you sound like an anti-Semite. Or do you have something against Jews? No, personally, actually I don't. Because Yahweh said they'll be taken care of. All right? I don't have to do anything personally to them except expose their lies and their deviant behavior, at this point anyway. Is there a time coming, as Obadiah says, when the sword will go into the hands of his warrior sons and they will destroy this enemy? Well, if Obadiah is right, and Ezekiel in chapter 25, yes, that day is coming. However, right now, we can destroy him by simply telling the truth. The Jew can't stand the truth. And for the weak-willed and soft-headed, soft-hearted folks out there, well, you're just going to have to grow up. Put your big boy and girl pants on and realize that we have an enemy that walks amongst us. And yeah, the world's afraid to talk about it, but we're not. The church world gets lots of money from these people. And they control the seminaries, or we could call them cemeteries, where the pastors are trained. And their controlled curriculum has them come out telling us that they're God's chosen people, you know. And just look at them. They wear the shawl, and they've got the funny tassets, and they got all that scroll work and that ancient Hebrew. Well, wait a minute. That's not ancient Hebrew. That's block Hebrew, invented around 900 A.D., another fake fraud. Yiddish is mostly ancient German, so it's not ancient Hebrew. You want to hear ancient Hebrew? Oh, and by the way, this is coming out all over the place now. And there were detractors and trolls tried to tell me I didn't know what I was talking about 10, 15 years ago. But guess what they're finding out? Exactly what we said. If you want to hear ancient Hebrew spoken, go listen to the Welsh speak in their native tongue. Yes, little Wales is the respiratory of ancient Hebrew. So is Irish and so is Scottish to a degree. They are the Gaelic languages, which are derived from ancient Hebrew. But the purest form is in the tribe of Levi, located in the little nation of Wales. Isn't that amazing? So, as big as this world is, he put that little section of the United Kingdom there up in the mountains with the capital at Cardiff, right across the ocean there from Ireland, another land of our brethren, and down below Scotland, another land of our brethren, where they speak the native tongue. Very interesting. Also, it's coming out that the ancient hieroglyphs, when you sound them out phonetically, you're speaking Welsh. A Welshman can listen to an Egyptologist reading the hieroglyphs and know exactly what he's talking about. I find that fascinating. More evidence, more evidence, more evidence. Okay, yep. As I said, Jennifer, thank you for tuning in. And no, I cannot take callers. Angel, thank you very much. I'm glad his sound is coming through. And Susan, glad you could make it. I'm sure that our good friends over at the National Socialists Movement website and channel, some of them are probably listening in too, so we salute them. Lots of things going on. Okay, I want to get to my quotes here real quick. Again, why? Because these are paramount for our people today. One of my favorites is Richard Buckminster Fuller. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. Why? Because the enemy controls it. Just like you think you're going to vote your way out of this bullshit that's going on today. Are you crazy? It's just like, can't think of who said it, but if voting counted, they wouldn't let us do it. Mark Twain. If voting counted, if it really made a difference, they wouldn't let you do it. They have control of the whole mechanism, folks. So as Mr. Fuller says here, you don't change things by fighting it. To change something, build a new model. Or as Andrew Torba, the founder of Gab.com, would tell you, build a parallel society, a parallel economy, a parallel system of commerce between sovereign states. The states need to take their sovereignty back. So you build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. It's not going to take much to make the existing model obsolete. The existing model is falling apart as we speak. Babylon is burning. Why? Because it's built on lies, deception, and degeneracy. Just look at what the Jewish mainstream media is pushing in front of your face. Sick degeneracy. A good example of this is what happened in Finland when they had the transgender male-to-female figure skater come out on the ice. First of all, this dude still looked like a dude, only it was wearing a dress, and he couldn't even skate. Can you get any more absurd? We live in total dystopia, total nonsense. The demons have been released upon the earth. The good news is their time is short. Revelation 18:4, why? Because here is a key element. This goes right along with what Mr. Fuller said here. And another voice from heaven came to my ears saying, come out of her, my people, so that you may have no part in her sins, which is what? Transgressions of God's law, and in her punishments, which are on the way. That's why the beast is angry. The beast is running out of time. their narrative is falling apart. Their mountain of lies is beginning to crumble down around their ears. So their anger is great, which just means they're going to do more stupid things that wake up fat people even faster. So hallelujah. It's like the old saying, when your enemy is making a mistake, don't interfere. Why would we want to resist or interfere with what the beast's doing right at the moment? Let our side grow and grow and grow and get angrier and angrier, so that when the day of the sword comes, there'll be no remorse. There'll be no hesitation in taking their heads. Yeah, we've been very squeamish, the white race, of late. All right? Most of the best of our men have bled themselves out on battlefields thanks to Jewish nefarious activities, bad actors, etc. So when that day comes, all hesitation will be gone. All of that effeminate emotionalism about being violent will be gone. We will be like the samurai and the knights of the Middle Ages, where to protect the innocent requires good men who are better trained at violence. They think they have violence down. You haven't seen pissed off white guys yet. And sometimes white women. But you haven't seen it. You have not seen what the white warrior is capable of, because they've been in hiding for too long. When that day comes, you're going to find out. You just pissed off the wrong people. But it's not quite time. Yahweh has a restrainer on us for the time being. 2 Chronicles 7:14, again, why? Because this is us. He's talking to us. If my people, that's you and me, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and by the way, in Revelation 18, when it says come out of her, it's talking about this Babylonian system. Again, let's build a new model, a better model, outside of the Babylonian model. So back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, on whom my name is named, make themselves low or humble, and come to me in prayer, searching for me, not the world, me, and turning from their evil ways, then I will give ear from heaven or above, overlooking their transgressions, and will give life again to their land. Hallelujah. Now, another famous quote, again, repeating it. Why? Because this is so important. Henry David Thoreau. Because this is what's wrong in our white nations. There are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to the one who is striking at the root. You see all these groups and everything waving around. Oh, we've got terrible food. Oh, they've debased our currency. Oh, they've infiltrated the church. Oh, the school system is debunked. The medical system is... Okay, all the branches. Who's going after the root? Because the root, when you follow the money trail, takes you back to the same group of termites eating away at the wooden structure of your society. Those termites go by the name Zionists, Jews, communists, socialists, debasers, Judaizers, whatever name you wish to give them. They're termites. By any other name is still a termite. They're eating away at your society, destroying it piece by piece by piece. You know the scripture that tells us, I believe it's in Luke, that beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. What were we being warned about there? Pharisees is just another name, biblical name for these people we call Jews today. What's leavening? Oh, beware of the yeast in mom's bread? No, silly. Look it up in your exhaustive dictionary. Leavening is anything that causes small, almost imperceptible changes in a thing or a substance. just like yeast, very small, almost imperceptible, but over time it makes great changes in that lump of dough, doesn't it? Well, the Jew, hiding in the bushes, hiding in behind their walled cities and their ghettos, getting out and creeping out into our society, pretending to be white when they're not. And just like the leaven, they get out there and they start leavening through your society, and pretty soon you look more like a Judaized society than you do a, quote, Christian society. You don't see Christ promoted today in America. Nothing of Christ is promoted here at all. And especially not from these mainstream death camps called churches, whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Yeah, they're dead all right, spiritually dead. They're the walking dead. They're the zombies. No life in those eyes. The light's on, but nobody's home. Yep, they're still walking, they're still eating and breathing, but the brain is pretty much shut down. No heart, no soul, no spirit, no fight, no critical thinking, just going along. Yeah, you know, yeah, the Jews down at work, they want us to do this, but, you know, you're still getting a paycheck, so just do what the damn Jew says. Well, wait a minute, but it's wrong. It's not fair. It's a lie. It's a, no, you don't understand. You're still getting a paycheck, so just go along with the bastard, okay? How many times have you heard that? I've heard it my whole career. When I pointed out some of the dumbass things we were doing in the United States Air Force, that's, who do you think you are, son? You're just a non-commissioned officer. You keep your mouth shut. Well, wait a minute. What did I say that was wrong? Well, it's not that you're wrong, but you can't do anything about it. There's more power at the top. You just do your damn job. Oh, so I get out of the Air Force. I go into nuclear power. Same thing. Hey, boss, why the hell are we doing this? This is stupid. Well, it's what the office wants. They always used to say that. It's either what the office wants or what, quote, downtown wants, which is a way of saying the corporate morons that sit around the board of directors table or in some other corporate office, headed up usually by either a woman, a minority, or a Jew. I can't tell you some of the dumbest, stupidest comments I've ever heard in my life was by people at the project manager level and vice president level. And 99% of the time, yes, it was either a woman, a minority, or a Jew. Because they've driven most of the intelligent white engineers out of management at all levels. They've been doing it my entire life. Why? Because we don't typically put up with the bullshit. If we see something's wrong, we'll say it's wrong. Just because you tell me to do something doesn't mean I'm going to do it. Just because you sign my paycheck doesn't mean I'm going to do it. And you'd be surprised how many times if you stood up to these people, they'll back down. Everybody assumes that, they're going to do bad things to you. They might fire you or they'll demote you or blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's the fear. That's what they want you to think. But in all my years of getting in people's faces at work, it never happened to me once. Not once. In fact, what I found out more often than not is they had a greater respect because you didn't take their bullshit. The unfortunate thing is about 1 in 1,000 white guys will do that. Well, that's going to change because the white guys that won't stand up, don't have critical thinking, don't have any balls, they're not going to be around much longer. Yahweh's going to thin the herd out. We got plenty of sheep. What we need is lions. He wants a flock of lions. Okay? Or a pride of lions. He doesn't need any more sheep. He's had enough sheep. Look at the shape of this frickin' world. Unbelievable. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe. When the Bible says woe, that means there's condemnation in store for those who do the following. And it's basically saying the people who are doing what? Twisting everything 180 degrees out, backwards, upside down, whatever way you want to determine it. And who's doing that? The same route to the tree of evil. Follow the money behind all the people with their insanity today. And that money trail will lead you back to the same Jewish names, Jewish faces, Jewish institutions, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's a broken record. Every time you go tracing down who's behind all of this idiocy today, it's the same people. I'm sure it's just a coincidence, isn't it? Under the topic of spiritual awakening, we can go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Yahshua will shine on you. Awake, O sleeping white man, awake from the dead. Spiritually dead. Obviously, you're not physically dead yet. The arms work. The body works. You can still talk. Your brain somewhat functions. Awake from the dead. Revelation 16, verse 15. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake. Awake. Keeping his garments on, his covering. What makes you not naked before the Father? Your repentance, your works, your garments, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. Exposed for what? For the degenerates that most of our people are. Take a look at them. Look at the way they're dressing. Look at the way they behave. Look where they go. Where they spend their time and money. Where they spend their energy. Where? In frivolous pursuits. Frivolous! While the world is crashing around us. While our white nations are overrun by foreigners, being led in by these Jews. And here in America, yeah, Biden, Jew. Most of the people in his administration are Jews, just like with Trump. I'm tired of these people. Oh, Trump's a white knight. Yep, bro, he's just doing this stuff for show. Well, hallelujah. He went along with it, added four more years of the destruction of our country. Oh, there were a few things changed to give you the illusion that somebody's actually doing something for us. But in the end, he was surrounded by Jews. Many say he's part Jewish himself, which there is evidence to that effect. And he certainly has a propensity to be surrounded by them, and he has no problem accepting money from them. So how is Trump any different than all the rest of these traitors that we've had? Answer, there is no difference. Just the illusion of a difference. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. Remember then what you received and heard. Oh, that's funny. It doesn't say received and read. Received and heard. Keep it and repent, which means change the way you think. Change your priorities. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. You see, the Father in heaven can either be a friend, an ally, or he will be your adversary. You're going through a test, ladies and gentlemen. A test. First Peter chapter 1 verse 13, therefore preparing your minds for action. Oh, wait a minute. Or did they mean preparing your minds for sitting on the couch watching TV? Preparing your minds for sitting in the chair in front of your flat screen? No, it says preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. Yahweh doesn't care about alcohol use. What he does care about is abuse. Abuse. Overindulgence. Whether it's alcohol, drugs, food, sex, entertainment, sports. Whatever deceives you. Whatever takes your attention and your reverence to him away from him. Those are the things that he hates. Being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revealing of Yahshua Messiah. By the way, the book of Revelation comes from a Greek word which we call apocalypse. That's how we pronounce it. It's not how they pronounce it, but it's how we pronounce it. Apocalypse. And it means an unveiling. A revealing. It doesn't mean the end of the world. Everybody says, oh, the apocalypse is here. Like, it's the end of the world. What? That's not what it says. It says the revealing. Revealing of what? The revealing of Yahshua. The revealing of his true teachings versus these doctrines of devils that we're living with today, thanks to the mainstream lying churches. The revealing of his sons and daughters, his true sons and daughters, not what the church world teaches today. The great revealing. James chapter 1, starting at verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Uh-oh, wait a minute. You mean I don't get any credit for sitting in church and listening to that boring preacher and all the garbage going on the whole time, can't wait to get home to watch the ball game? I don't get credit for that? No, you don't. I don't get credit for the fact that I read the Bible every night before I go to bed, and I've been through the Bible two or three times. No. No, it's a good practice, but no. Be ye doers of the word. Put it into action. Now you get credit. Put it into action. And not hearers only. Deceiving yourself. Yeah, you are. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, doesn't say reader of the word here, does it? It says hearer. And not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Yeah, if you're not a doer, you're just a hearer. As soon as you leave the church building, you go back to the way you were, don't you? But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, most people today don't even know what that word means, and perseveres. Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Doesn't say blessed in his reading, blessed in his hearing, sitting in the pews, not paying attention, twiddling, probably watching his cell phone. Yeah, we got a lot of pretenders out there. 2 Timothy 4, 5, chapter 4, verse 5. As for you, always be sober-minded. Sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. That's why I tell a lot of young guys that, you know, don't go out there and let your hormones pick your mate for you. Sorry, guys. I hate to bust your bubble, but this love at first sight bullshit, I'm sorry, maybe 1 in 100,000. But for the most of us, that just doesn't work, okay? It's your hormones. You don't want to run out there and just pick somebody because of your hormones. You want somebody who's going to help you, quote, do what 2 Timothy chapter 4 says here. Fulfill your ministry. You have to figure out what's your ministry. What's your purpose for being down here? Okay? How many of us would have had made better choices if we'd have known that simple little fact? You are a child of the Most High. You have a ministry, a work to do. Find out what that work is and then pick the mates that are going to help you accomplish it. Whether it's one or a dozen, it doesn't matter. You have a ministry. Almost like running a business. You have work to do. You want to put a team together that will make you successful in getting that work accomplished. That's what he's telling you in 2 Timothy. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3. But Yahweh is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Yeah, if you're doing his will. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 6. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. The reason we talk about this being sober so much is if you're allowing any substance to control you or take away your ability to act, react, speak, or be a minister for Yah, anything that you allow to interfere with that, he hates. You're not supposed to let any substance or anything on this earth weaken your position, weaken your resolve, weaken your ability to be one who accomplishes things for our people. Not only that, if you're in a leadership role, now it's even more important. You're to be a leader. You lead by example. So gluttony, alcohol abuse, drug abuse, and all those things, verboten. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. How many people are thankful for what they have? They're always looking to get more. You ever notice that? Bigger car, bigger house, newer car, newer house, more friends, more parties, more food, more this, more that. Always want, never thankful for what you got. Being satisfied for what you got. No. Luke 21, verse 34. But watch yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. Matthew 24:42. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your master or Lord is coming. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O Yahweh God, and renew a right spirit within me. How about the first thing out of bed in the morning? First time you open up your eyes and you think to yourself, create in me a clean heart, Father Yahweh, and renew the right spirit within me. The right spirit. These are troubling times, ladies and gentlemen, and we have said many, many times on this show, you, the individual I'm talking to right now, you are a living Bible. You are living scripture to the people around you, whether it's family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, people at the auditorium, doesn't matter. You are an ambassador of the Most High. everything about you is being observed. So you want to win people over to our side, to the right side? If you want to wake people up to what's going on, why don't you exhibit the traits of the Master himself? That's why he said, I came as an example. An example. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, Adelphos, people of the same race, by the mercies of Yahweh God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy. Holy just means separated to the Father. And acceptable to Yahweh God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You could say repentance. Change the way you think. Change the way you look at things. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of Yahweh God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So what's good and acceptable and perfect? Your deeds? Your desires? Mine? That's not what it says. It says his. The closer you follow his will on this earth, the happier you're going to be, the more blessed you're going to be. You may not have the things of the world. You may not be driving around in a $100,000 car or living in a $5 million mansion, but those are the things of this world. Those people aren't happy anyway. I've seen tons of them, especially down here in South Florida. They're all over the place. You got migrants in here running around in brand new trucks and cars costing $50,000, $60,000. They just came across the border. They can't even speak English. Wonder how they were able to do that. Huh? I wonder how they were able to do that. You got all these other foreigners and migrants and Jews running around, all these high-end cars. Does it make them any better than you are? Does it make them any happier? No, of course not. Especially the Jew. He's never happy. And again, that's not my word. I'm just quoting things I've read in books written by Jews about Jews. In fact, Bobby Fischer, the famous chess champion, himself half Jew, said many times about the traits of the Jewish people, and he was not very kind. He's almost like Brother Nathaniel. All right? Jews speaking out about what atrocious behavior the Jews all have. James 4, verse 8, draw near to Yahweh God and he will draw near to you. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't it he comes to us first and blesses us and then we? No. You draw near to him and then he will draw near to you. And cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded. Yeah. We got a lot of people who are double-minded. They are like weeds in the wind, blown away by whatever the latest propaganda, just like this balloon nonsense. Come on, people. You don't recognize a diversion. Hey, look over here at this completely idiotic story. We're talking about a damn supposed balloon from, come on. That should be your first clue to look everywhere else. You know who's up to something, who's up to no good in your country. Titus 3, verse 5, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Regeneration. Regenerate yourself into a new man or new woman. That's why it says one of the signs of a true conversion, it's not going down and getting baptized. Yeah, that's a symbolic gesture on your part to show. But it's what? It's a changed life. if you want to claim that Yeshua and you have this relationship, then there should be a changed life. No change in your life? No. No indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Sorry, can't happen. If you love the Father, if you love His law, if you want to do the right things, it will create a change in you. It has to. Because if it doesn't, then you have not changed, and therefore you have not, quote, been born again, washed anew, regenerated. John 14:6, everybody should know this one. Yeshua said to him, I am the way, the path, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Jews are God's chosen people, Daniel. Well, that's funny. They denounce Yeshua. Their whole religion denounces Yeshua. And they hate those that follow Yeshua. And yet, right here in the New Testament, in John, he's already said, nobody comes to the Father except through me. And yet, these automatons, these monsters that have taken control of the white nations, tell us we should welcome with open arms Muslims and Jews and Shintoists and all the other peoples that deny the Christ. Really? How does that work? You want to talk about double-minded? There's your double-mindedness. Well, I believe in Yeshua and I believe in the Bible, Dan. Really? Well, what about John here? Well, that's different because we're supposed to love everybody, Dan. You know that. God just loves everybody. So we welcome in the atheists and the antichrists with open arms, huh? You think that's what Yeshua wants us to do? Well, Dan, you know he's love, and love's all that matters, Dan. That's what the preacher told me down at the church last Sunday. You know, he's teaching you the doctrines of devils, right? Oh, no, Dan, that can't be. We were in God's holy church. It's called Bethel, you know, God's house. Well, that's funny. Yeshua taught out in the open. Well, that was back then. Today, you got to go to a special place, Dan. That's where you're going to hear God's word. No kidding. I got to go to a special building for the Holy Spirit to speak to me? I got to go to a special building to hear a guy that came out of a cemetery with a degree who was taught by the very Christ haters that you're talking about? And that's where I'm going to hear the truth? I say no. I think you're full of crap, is what I think. And I'm going to go my own way. You keep going back to that whitewashed sepulcher full of zombies, dead men's bones, listening to that lying prostitute behind the pulpit. You go there and you go down in flames with the rest of them. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to take the road less traveled. Because, you know, in the book that I read, it says the way to salvation is a narrow road and few travel thereon. So that tells me the majority don't have it right. You think? Yeah, I think. Also in John 14 at verse 3, Yeshua says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. How about that? Which version of you do you want the Father to see? Remember, the great gift of the Father is giving you life, right? He gave you life, people. No matter how hard these antichrists work at it, life is given by the Father. And what you do with that life is your gift back to him. Are you going to face him one day with zero works? Now, if you're a thief on a cross about ready to die and you have that conversion experience with Yeshua, well, obviously you're not going to have a whole lot of works, are you? That's where the grace comes in. But most of you don't have that excuse. Sorry. You don't. He wants to see the works, because the works do quite a few things. Works, first of all, keeps the evil ones in check. Works also show to others the way they should live, which is what leadership is all about. And besides that, Scripture plainly says that faith without works is dead. How true. How true. Faith without works is dead. It's just you deceiving yourself once again. Let's see if I have any others here I want to share with you. Psalm 80, verse 18 and 19, then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Yahweh God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Well, wait a minute. This is Psalm in the Old Testament, and it's talking about Yahweh saving us. Much like Isaiah 33, verse 22. So, where's this new God called Jesus that you're all following? Yeshua was Yahweh here in a flesh body. It's the only way it can work. But a lot of people don't seem to understand that. They seem to think that he had a, quote, son. Well, he entered a flesh body, that's true, but no, he did not have a son. It's not a separate entity. He walked amongst us to show us, because our people are so thick-headed and stiff-necked. They needed to see a physical presence to understand. That's why I said, I come to show you. I came as an example to live a sacrificial life for our people. And today, you literally have to sacrifice your life trying to wake up these brain-dead, stiff-necked white Israelites. They are amazing to me today. I just can't believe 3 years into this total scam, and yet they're still... people at least appear to be white, falling for this bullshit. Still allowing our countries to be overrun. Still believing these miscreants in office are somehow going to look out for us. They're not of us. Now you know why Scripture in Leviticus and Deuteronomy says you will not allow a racial alien to be in authority over you. Do you see, silly, ignorant white man and white woman? You can't even obey the simplest rules that our Father gave us. You don't allow non-whites to have authority over you. You're the first in the line of succession from Yahweh down, Yahweh to Adam, to you and I. That's the hierarchy. The other peoples of this world were here prior to that. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have a place. They are a, quote, creation of the Father. Yeah, absolutely. No different than the animal kingdom, actually. He put it all here. We were to tend the garden. That means to keep law and order, to protect the innocent, the widows and the orphans. That's our job. Doesn't matter if it's a dog or a cat or a non-white or a fellow white. Doesn't matter. It's our job to implement his law on this land that we call earth. That's your job, white man. And to some degree, white woman, you're supposed to support the men fulfilling his law. We're not doing it. The whole world truly is in travail, which is agony. The Greek word that's translated there is the same word used to express what a woman's going through during childbirth. The struggle, the pain of producing the child. This world is in pain because it's about to be reborn. This world is at the point where some ladies would call it the crowning. You can start to see the crown of the head. We're that close. And yes, there is a lot of pushing. There's a lot of consternation. There is even some pain. The good news is that the birth is right around the corner. The new heaven and the new earth. It doesn't mean a different heaven and different earth. It means a renewed heaven, a renewed earth, a renewed relationship with our Creator as we clean up the mess that the Jew, through his control of finance, has brought about the destruction of nature and of mankind upon this earth. These little sniveling, nefarious trolls are being exposed everywhere. And Yahweh says through Obadiah and Ezekiel that their days are numbered. Hallelujah. More and more platforms that I go to are talking openly about these nefarious creatures. So you see, our work as watchmen and your prayers as believers are starting to come to fruition. Can you say hallelujah? This poor world is in travail with all of this insanity and sickness and demented behavior. It's sick. Yahweh's about ready to purge it. Now remember, all of you white Israelites out there, he said before he cleans up the rest of this refuge, he's going to thin out our people, the weak, the cowardly, the sick, the demented. They're not going to be there for the final destiny of our people. Because we can't win in a war carrying that dead weight with us. We need to shun people of that description away from our lives, whether we're related to them or not, whether they're friends or not. Just read the scripture of those who he detests. You don't want to be in association with them. They'll just take away your energy. They'll take you into a lower vibration. Stay away from them. Stay with the people of higher vibration, the people who get it. And remember, number one on the list, he's not even angriest at those who are blasphemers as he is the coward. The man or woman who, through fear, refuses to say or do the right thing. Remember what he said? I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Oh yeah, you said you did things in my name, but you disgust me so much. You are so detestable. I will vomit you out of my mouth and say, get away from me, for I never knew you. You fake and you fraud. You coward. as our race awakens to our destiny, and as our men and women learn bravery, learn to overcome their, quote, fears and consternation, then they can become what the Father intended us to be. And this whole world will rejoice. And there will be many of the other races who come to assist Adam as he sets this world aright. Because all of this travail is affecting everybody. It's not just us. But we are the leaders of this pack. Whether you like it or not, that's what Adam was put here for. Adam. Those who show blood in the face or blush. That's us. Adam. Rough and ruddy. We have the job to turn this world around. Are you up for it? I hope so, because time's running out. Time is running out. So remember, in closing here, that balloon and all the nonsense like it is just a diversion. You need to be looking at what these clowns are really up to. Be careful about the money system and all that you're hearing about that. We've told you for decades that this system is going to burn. Revelation tells you it's an economic collapse. So you do not want all your eggs in one basket, ladies and gentlemen. That's what they used to tell us on the farm. You don't put all your eggs in one basket, because if you go out and trip and your basket falls, now all the eggs are gone for the day, aren't they? So you put your eggs in several baskets. Common sense. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't put all your money in one platform. Don't put it all in gold or all in silver or all in Federal Reserve notes or all in digital this and in crypto that. Diversify. Diversify. And put some of it into things like land and food production and water filtration and alternative ways of housing. Don't think the way the world thinks. Think the way our ancestors thought. There are cheap, easy, and sustainable ways to make dwellings the way our ancestors did, that could stand for 100, 200 years. Just like when the Amish put a house or a barn up back where I came from, it'll be there 100 years later, just as strong as the day they put it up. Because they don't do the stupid things that we do when we build houses. They build it all from wood. They don't even use metal nails. They use wooden pegs. And specific kinds of wood. There are ways of doing things, but you have to think for yourself. You have to think outside the box. The enemy wants to keep you in the box. Remember the KISS principle. Keep it simple, silly. Keep it simple. Start learning how to be a bit of a minimalist. And what you do decide to keep around, make sure it's appropriate, usable. And as I said, Yahweh's got plenty of sheep. He's looking for the lions. Decide today which one you're going to be, folks, because again, you're running out of time. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We would pray that you would guide each and every one of us by your Holy Spirit. Guide us into wisdom. Guide us into having a strong heart and to be courageous. Take away our fears and doubts. Forgive us our sins and shortcomings as we try to wash them off of us. Wash us anew by your Holy Spirit, that we could become new creatures in Yahshua. And always, always, always we ask that you would protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Hallelujah.
Rise up and shine.
Rise up and shine, His people by his power rise up and shine. His people by his might rise up and shine to make the whole world now awaken. By his own grace we walk into his light. The empty cross, the sign of our redemption. He died for us, that others we may show. Before his Father's throne, his children live eternal. The Father's Son has washed us white as snow. Almighty God, the Father rules in heaven. Almighty God, the Son rules here on earth. No man secures his land, his liberty or freedom. But Christ rules here, he gives a second birth. Rise up and fight. On earth he gave us power. Rise up and fight. On earth he made us kings. Before the prince of death we shall no longer cower. Because our Savior Lord is King of Kings. Take up his sword, his feet by his power. Take up his sword, his people by his might. Take up his sword and then take down that evil tower. Rise up and shine, his people by his light. Take up his sword and then take down that evil tower. Rise up and shine, his people by his light. Before the prince of death we shall no longer cower. Because our Savior Lord is King of Kings. Because our Savior Lord is King, he's Lord and King of Kings. So America,
the things that make a soldier great and send him out to die, to face the flaming cannon's mouth and never question why. When lilacs by a little porch, row of tulips red, the peonies and pansies too, the old petunia bed, the grass plot where his children play, the roses on the wall. These that make a soldier great, he's fighting for them all. It's not the pomp and pride of kings that make a soldier brave. It's not a legion the flag that over him may wave. For soldiers never fight so well on land or on the foam as when behind the because they see a little place called home. In danger, but that humble street where honest children run. Make a soldier of the man who never bore a gun. What is through the battle smoke the valiant soldier sees? The little garden far away, the budding apple trees, the little patch of ground back there, the children at their play. Perhaps a tiny mound behind a simple church of gray. Spot where'er it be, the humble spot called home. And now the lilacs bloom again, all is lovely there. Homesick soldiers far away, no spring is in the air. The tulips come to bloom again, the grass once more is green. Every man can see the spot where all his joys have been. Sees his children smile at him. He hears the bugle call. Only death can stop him now. He's fighting for them all.
Light.
cry for my country, for the pain that it's been through. She's been made to suffer for the profit of a few. Storm clouds are out forming, winds of change now touch our shores. I hear forefathers are crying as the dream's been crucified.
America, America, I show my love for thee with strength and loyalty. America, America, I show my love for you in all that I do.
All that I do. I pray for my country and for friends and family. Mourning in the ignorance while staying safe within a dream. I will fight for freedom and a way to liberty. I die for my country, slaying corporate dynamite. Tragedy. I just want some answers
so the truth will set us free. And the truth will set us free. I say
to victory. his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory.
About the angels singing and the redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior.